Today's podcast is going to be a little bit different. It's a lessons learned special. In this case, we're talking lessons learned by directions analyst Wes Miller after more than 12 years of co-leading directions on Microsoft's licensing boot camps. In addition to teaching as part of the boot camps, Wes also writes and analyzes about all things security and identity related. Hi, Wes. Thank you so much for doing the podcast with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so I think this is going to be really interesting for people who've been to the boot camps or who haven't been to the boot camps. I think it would be good, though, for people who have never been to talk a little bit about what are these boot camps? Who are they for? What should attendees expect to learn? And do you ever have repeat boot campers? I'm guessing yes, because things change very quickly in the Microsoft product and licensing space.
Sure. Yeah. So historically, boot camps were every other month, and Rob and I would, co-founder Rob Horwitz and I would travel the U.S. and once a year go to London and teach a three-day course. Mm-hmm. And the focus is primarily for basically 2 days, helping customers understand key product licensing concepts. It's really the trouble spots for Microsoft technology. So SQL Server, Windows Client, and Office. Mm-hmm. I've watched these move from the perpetual products to the subscription variants of everything. So now my main focus today in our boot camp literally was Microsoft 365 licensing. So In person, it's 3 days. Online, we actually break it down for everyone's sanity, ours and the attendees. And we actually do 5 half-day sessions rather than 3 full-day. It's a pretty intense boot camp. And right now we're at a phase where we're alternating, but we're still doing 3 in-person boot camps per year. And it's usually got a really nice energy to it. This week's boot camp has been great. Lots of great questions. Mm-hmm. Now, okay. As far as attendees, first of all, yes, repeat attendees. I can't tell you the record. It's probably 10 at this point, but we have attendees who absolutely come back multiple times because, the first fundamental to understand about Microsoft licensing is it does not sit still. And although you could probably come back a year or two and maybe even 3 years after you came the first time and have it be relatively consistent, or at least be, okay, I get that, I remember that, by the time you hit 4 or 5 years, or especially now, again, looking back at what things were like 12 years ago, it's a completely different world. So I would say a typical attendee will probably come back at least once every 2 years or every 3 years, often as their enterprise agreement, their big Microsoft licensing agreement, comes up for renewal, because typically we can help them understand what Microsoft's motivations and drivers are, and also really how to color within the lines, which is, I think, what I view as our main goal with the boot camps, is help you be effective moving forward.
Yeah, this whole idea of technology licensing does not sit still. I just have been here a little over a year at Directions, and I can tell you, just watching how you guys update the licensing reference set and all the different things that come across my desk with, like, okay, a month ago it was this, and now they've changed the SKU, or they've changed the licensing, they've added this, they've taken this away, especially with Copilot, right? I mean, That's just like multiplied the effect a million times. But is it just that tech is always changing and evolving? Is that why licensing doesn't sit still, or is there something more going on?
No, I would actually argue it's almost anti-tech. It's very little about the technology itself, and it's much more about Microsoft's motivations and customer needs. And it's the combination of those two things too. What do customers need? What are they pulling for? But on the other side, Microsoft very clearly, as a public company, and B, a very watched public company and widely held, they have motivations and drivers that, they're focusing on how do we push people towards this service instead of that old on-prem product, or push them towards this tier of service instead of that cheaper tier of service. And often you'll see levers pulled in the background where they'll raise a price on this and leave that price the same because it's intended to make that new thing look more appealing. So not
E5.
Exactly, E5 and points beyond. I'm falling to the fray with you that there's probably not an E7. Don't worry about it anytime immediately soon. But That said, things like Copilot, Teams Premium, Defender Vulnerability Management, Microsoft has all these add-ons on top of add-ons on top of what was once the top shelf version of Microsoft 365. So yeah, it's a lot about drivers and where Microsoft wants to get customers to move to and what do they have to do in the background to make those things happen.
You know, when I also did a podcast series with Dean Bedwell, who teaches with you and Rob in the boot camps. And I had never really thought about the idea of almost ascribing motivations to a company. But then when I started hearing him talk about why Microsoft might try to get you to do something when your license comes up for renewal, I was thinking, I never really put it together in my head like that, that if they want to grow more E5 so that they can tell their investors, yeah, E5, it was 12%, now it's 25% or 50%, they will push the customers to that so that they can fulfill the mission, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of people don't pay attention to, it's the reality is, even prior to 2020, prior to the pandemic and some of the life changes we've all had since then, people were always, you know, everybody's busy. Everybody's busy. Very few people sit around going, you know what, I want to go learn more about Microsoft products, services, and licensing and pricing and blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, Rob and I have been staring at these licensing magic eye puzzles for so long that we can usually see them pretty quickly, and you'll see very common trends, and we sometimes call them carrots and sticks, you know, positive motivators and negative effects. So things that Microsoft does in the background to encourage customers to go this direction instead of that way. There's also some chess terms that are German. My German, as my daughter will tell you, is horrible, so I won't try to say the words. But, you know, again, things to encourage motion and momentum in a certain direction. And what we'll often see, often nowadays, is every 3 years, every triennium, because that's how long an EA is, every 3 years or so, you'll typically see very similar motivations come from Microsoft and different products are on different timeframes. But you'll more often than not see a price rise in the old thing and some maybe some features taken away or only added to the new version. And over time, that obviously has the effect of driving people towards the new and cool thing. But even, you know, just as great for Microsoft, if you decide you didn't want to go that way, it also drives revenue up. Right. So there's an upside either way.
All right. I want to talk about a different issue, and one that I think is something that comes up a lot in the boot camps, which is the two plagues, over licensing and under licensing. So it feels like this happens a lot. And I'm wondering if there's any advice that you give to organizations so they can live in the, quote, Goldilocks zone just right. Not over-licensed, not under-licensed.
Just right. Yeah, you know, it's the reality is, I used to say when we would teach the boot camps in person pretty regularly that no matter what you do, there are always pockets of your organization that are over-licensed and pockets of your organization that are under-licensed. And let's take SQL Server as a great example. Everyone is always both. There's areas where they're under-licensed and they don't realize it, and there's areas where they're over-licensed and they don't realize it. And it's just because, you know, infrastructure changes over time and different parts of the organization might buy licenses. And many of the things Microsoft makes don't have active license enforcement built into them. So, you know, you put your finger up in the air and check for the wind, and that's the best effort you get to try and stay compliant. So you got to buy 10% more of the thing than you thought you needed so that stuff works correctly, or so that if an auditor does come around, you don't get in trouble. And on the other side, there's a lot of stuff that organizations might not even think about that Microsoft doesn't even look at anymore, or things like Visio and Project that, you know, you and I've talked at length about that, for better or worse, they haven't changed in a long time, yet Microsoft continues to license it at the same price or even more. And organizations are over-licensed in many cases on both of those products because often users have moved away to third-party technologies since Visio and Project sat still.
You're right, right, right. Okay, I want to call out a story I heard you tell at a boot camp. you and Rob Horowitz found a napkin with something written on it at the boot camp at the end when you were cleaning up. So I want to hear that story again and tell the folks listening. And then once you tell it, I want to know what customers can do, if anything, if their execs don't buy off on fixing something and then they get an oh crap moment.
Yes. So the oh crap moment, Rob and I will often use slightly more colorful language for that one. But the oh crap moment is something that happens to almost every boot camp attendee. And it typically happens the first time they come to a boot camp. Next time they come back, they don't usually get as many surprises. And they're also more familiar with their estate and the world of Microsoft licensing at that point. So the story goes like this. When Rob and I teach, again, in-person events, at the end of each day, we will typically go through the room, whatever place we're hosting it in. And we have a couple of things we're trying to take care of here. First, we're trying to make sure that nobody left anything important behind, a laptop, power supply, anything proprietary. But also that we do surveys to make sure we get feedback from everybody. It's always immensely useful of, hey, you'd be great if you did this instead of that, et cetera. And we'll often have, usually the facilities will do this for us, notepads and pens. And so at this particular facility in Dallas one time, there were notepads out there. And this was kind of in the back of the room. So this was a group that I can't recall which company they were from, but the point was it was at least two people who had traveled together. And this is often the case at a boot camp where two or more people will come so they can literally collaborate on licensing strategy while they're both learning together. And so this note we ran across at the end of cleaning up after the last day, and the note simply said, again, in more colorful language than I'll use, let's just say it said, "We're screwed." And Rob picks it up and shows it to me, and we both just break out laughing. And the kicker was, I'm pretty sure I know where it was, which this tells you how long ago it was. I'm pretty sure it was during the Exchange server section that they had that comment. And in general, like I said, there's no way to immediately avoid your own oh crap moment when you go through and do a SAM assessment across your organization and you figure out the assets you've got in terms of software, but also in terms of the services you subscribe to. You will find places you're short licenses, you'll find place you're over licensed, and the Goldilocks place in the center there, like you were talking about, you've got to find that comfortable spot. But the main thing is staying on top of both licensing rules, which is the value of the boot camp, but also staying on top of what you're using as an organization. Know what software is where. If you don't know that, you don't stand a chance of staying ahead of it. And, similarly, I do remember another instance in Chicago a few years later where I had an attendee. He was new to licensing, a sweet kid. And he had his oh crap moment before lunch one day, and he was almost at the verge of tears. And I saw this at another boot camp recently where he's like, I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell them and they're not going to listen to me. I said, I am sorry. I am so sorry. But that's all the best we can do, right? Write it down, put it in email, tell the powers that be, and hopefully they'll make the right decision to reduce risk for the organization, but they might not. But at least he can say, I learned and I told, and they did or didn't follow what I told them to do.
Okay. A good place to take a quick break. I want to tell you a little more about these infamous licensing boot camps we're talking about. So this year, there's an Atlanta boot camp, which is in person, that's coming up very soon, May 21 to May 23rd. And there are going to be several other virtual boot camps as well this year. So you can check that out on the website if you want to know the dates and the particulars. So I went to the Atlanta boot camp last year in May, and I really came away feeling like the quantity and the quality of information that is delivered there is very impressive. I feel like you get your money's worth. The opportunity to talk with directions analysts one-on-one, other customers, you can have chats with them offline and during the boot camp. It really makes the event. So this is the place to update and ensure that your licensing knowledge is current. If you want to learn more, go to directionsonmicrosoft.com, or you can email info@directionsonmicrosoft.com, and you will learn more about the boot camps, the EA advisory service, and other services that we offer. All right, back to Wes. And another good lesson learned, licensing is a team sport. What do you mean by that, Wes?
Well, like I was sort of insinuating when I was talking about Dallas, that we had a couple of people who traveled there. What will often have happen is Someone will hear about us because we're a small company, as you know. We're not right. huge, and people are, oh, Directions on Microsoft. They're like all the other, you know, the analyst firms that people have heard of, the big right. two in particular. They have names that resonate. We've done this 30 years, just Microsoft. And so people will often hear word of mouth, or their reseller will tell them about us, or one of our salespeople has a relationship with a partner they may have worked with in the past. The point is, we'll often have one person who comes to the event and they'll be like, oh gosh, my boss should have come, or my colleague should have come. Mm-hmm. And then we'll often see the colleague, and then, you know, a year or 14 or 18 months later, we'll often see the pair of them come back together because they tended to learn off of each other. And, you know, we've seen teams well into the teens travel to the boot camp as a group together. And it's actually great to see, because you almost start working collaboratively with these teams to solve distinct problems. But because each person has their own space, you know, you have a person who focuses on server technologies, a person who focuses on security or compliance, and a person who focuses on endpoint management, you have to have each one of those stakeholders at least on the same page to start, so you can figure out where you're investing in and what the right things are to focus on. Because mm-hmm. like you said, it's a lot of information and it's high velocity.
Yes.
So figure out what your key wins are right as you leave the door that day.
Right. It was amazing to watch some people's faces when you guys were presenting on some of the finer points of things like, you know, how does RDS work on Windows Server or something like that. And I was just watching people's face in the audience and just the bewilderment and like almost like they were almost crying laughing because it was so complicated. You know, I was like, I can relate. I've been a reporter about Microsoft for 30 years. I know your pain. It's really complicated, super complicated. So yeah, it's a lot. It is
and definitely a lot. That's one of the things actually. So, you know, as we head to Atlanta in 2 months, first of all, if anybody's thinking about going to the boot camp, I strongly encourage you to go to Atlanta because A, it's usually very easy for people to get to, but mm-hmm. B, that is far and away the best venue we use. It's a wonderful venue. And I, as a person who enjoys teaching, I was a teacher before I actually declared my major in college, was going to go for education. Mm-hmm. And the thing about that space is, like you said, you get to see the faces,
you
and
do.
See the interactions. And I do miss that in the online events. It's just, no matter what you do, you can't quite get the same personality to it. But yes, seeing the humor, the shock, the awe, they're all the ups and downs, the emotional tumult of the boot camp.
Yes, yes. It made it fun for me anyway. the other thing I noticed at the boot camp I went to was how much good practical advice that you and your colleagues offer about how customers should and should not interact with Microsoft during their licensing discussions. So we talked a little bit about this, like Microsoft's motivations, but what do you suggest when people say to you, what shouldn't I do when I'm talking to them about my license?
The first, I started creating some laws that, you know, I would often say like Horowitz's first law of licensing, jokingly assigning it back to Rob. But you know, one of the things that Rob really helped me understand early on is the best guidance we can give customers is, you know, it's similar to parenting. You know, the first thing you got to do is slow down, process what your priorities are, and then figure out what you got to do. And the most important thing with licensing, even about, you know, talking to Microsoft or reseller, or even figuring out how much time do I need to spend on this thing? Mm-hmm. How big is the scope of the problem you're worried mm-hmm. about? It's typical risk management. And, you know, you might be 10 licenses out of compliance on technology X. That's not your biggest fire. Don't right. worry about it. Put it in a note. Come back to it in August and think about it when you have time. Right now, focus on the key wins, the big priorities, the things that are really out of whack. Mm-hmm. And that's the main point. The other side is thinking about what do you talk about to Microsoft? What do you talk about to your reseller? If you're lucky, you have a great reseller and you have a great representative at that reseller. If you're not lucky, especially if you're a smaller organization, you're probably working with a reseller who's a little bit more of a mill, in the sense mm-hmm. that you got whoever they'll give you, and yeah. their time is split, and so you don't get great question and answer time with them. Most importantly, You know, it's asking mom or dad, would you ever ask, you know, mom, there's this great party, you're 17. There's this great party I want to go to. Yeah, it's gonna be a little alcohol, but can I go? No. And just think before you ask Microsoft a licensing question. Hey, if we did this, would that be legit? Would that be above right. board? Don't ask the question. Right. Just go in thinking, okay, this is probably a problem. And if your reseller can't tell you, A, you can come and ask us. Or B, you know, just assume it is a problem and then ask us, what do you do to work around that? And we typically, there's very little we haven't seen before in Microsoft licensing. So we can usually give you a recommendation of, you know, try these three things if it's actually a big enough problem, and it's the best you'll get.
Definitely. Yeah. Don't telegraph what might be your big problem to Microsoft.
Absolutely. Especially if you have an EA or a renewal coming around the corner anytime right. soon, because you're putting up guideposts for them.
Yeah. What if I could do blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I feel like reporters do this sometimes too. Like, if you were going to do this or that, like, and you're like, you're showing your hand. Don't do it. Don't do it. Yes. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about resellers too, because I feel like some customers I've talked to in my career treat them like best friends. Like mm-hmm. they hang out with them on the weekends, they go golfing with them, they go to brunch with them, they know their kids' names. And then I know others who kind of treat them as their foes, even though they're quote partners. So what do you guys hear from customers on that? And how do you kind of suggest people reconcile how to deal with their reseller?
I think the first thing is that the reality in today's day and age is that salespeople have, you know, aggressive milestones they have to meet, and they're not compensated on making sure that the customer is happy and successful all the time. Mm-hmm. And to that end, the main thing is just bearing in mind that your reseller and your rep there isn't your friend. They're there because it's a business relationship. And if you're a bigger customer, often you will have a great reseller and a great partner who's willing to go out of their way because you are collaborative partners together. You're making him successful, him or her, and they're making you successful in terms of helping you get what you need to get done. But particularly as we move down the chain towards smaller organizations, those reps typically, and the resellers they work for, typically don't have time. I want to make sure they get adequate credit for, they're just not compensated and they're not given adequate time to focus in on, hey, do you have all the tools that you need to be successful? Do you have a licensing question I can solve for you? You don't really need that technology. You should use this that's much less expensive instead. And then you only need 100 licenses of it. So it's much more about the size of the organization and how much they buy, unfortunately, that will right. often reflect it. But on the same side, we've had people who you know, smaller organizations that work with smaller resellers and had great relationships. So mm-hmm. you're often just at the mercy of how the reseller works. And my advice would be, if you're not happy with your rep at a reseller, ask if you can have a different rep. Mm-hmm. And if you think it's in, you know, if you had a couple and it's a problem that recurs, it's like endemic, and you should really probably think about working with a different reseller who might handle things differently. Mm-hmm. But again, in 2024, every role like that is often challenged with doing more with less. So it might just be something that you'll have to get used to.
Right. Right. And I feel like more and more customers, even some fairly big ones, are being required now to go through resellers mm-hmm. before they may have gone direct to Microsoft. But now that whole dynamic is kind of changing, right?
Absolutely. And you see Microsoft pushing down, you know, for those who don't know, an enterprise agreement, you know this, mm-hmm. an enterprise agreement is this, it's the largest agreement you can typically forge with Microsoft. And part of the beauty of it is it's a contract. You can tweak it, you can modify it, and you can ask for all sorts of crazy amendments and exceptions. Mm-hmm. And people like Dean, who are skilled in the art, can help people be effective with it. On the other side, Microsoft has things like the Microsoft Customer Agreement, the MCA, and those are one size fits all, and they're right. not designed to be extensible or flexible or malleable. They're kind of brittle. And so, yeah, smaller customers, and Microsoft is pushing down because they don't want to be, it's expensive. They don't want to be in the business of maintaining relationships with every single one of their customers because it doesn't make financial sense.
Right. All right. Well, I think on that note, we're going to say that's it for this episode. But I do look forward to, and I'm sure our listeners do too, about hearing lots more boot camp lessons in the coming years. So thanks, Wes.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a great conversation.
Thanks. To close, I would like to remind our listeners they can find more coverage of all things Microsoft related on directions on Microsoft.com. Thank you so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any topics that you'd like to hear the directions analysts cover in one of these podcasts, please do not hesitate to contact me, preferably via Twitter at Mary Jo Foley. And speaking of Twitter, give us a follow at DirectionsMSFT for all the latest Microsoft Enterprise product and licensing information. Thanks again.